You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS FM 98.3 and 102.1, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Welcome to Julie Whitney Scott Presents, the arts, theaters, music, and filmmaking in all aspects of the entertainment world, both in, around, and behind the scenes that pertain to you, your family, your community, and thus your society. Heard every Thursday at 7 p.m. live on TalkTainmentRadio.com. That's radio the way it should be heard. Download the app today on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Yeah. Welcome to Julie Whitney Scott Presents. Heard only on TalkTainmentRadio.com. That's radio the way it should be heard. And we're heard all around the world. And I have for you today our special guest, Mr. Nathan Best. I don't know if you're aware who Mr. Nathan Best is, but you're going to find out who he is on Julie Whitney Scott Presents today, and it's going to bring back memories of days gone by. Nathan Best, are you with me?
I am with you, Julie. So glad to be here with you today.
And we are so happy that you have decided to be a part of the TTR special guest list. And I am also so excited to be bringing to the people some releases from your new album that's coming out that you have just released called Center of My Life.
Yes, I am so excited. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, I want you to tell everybody just a little bit about you, and so that they can, I put some little stuff out there on fillers from him for people can know who you are, but I want to even take you back before they get to know who the, you know, those names are. Tell us, when did you first started to sing? What made you decide that you want to be a singer?
Well, I didn't realize it till later on in life. Really, my mom and my dad was the ones that really instilled it in us early developed the craft in us early. My mom was a recording artist on Chess Records out of Chicago, and she said, "Nathan, I want you to lead a song on my record, and I want you to do it, and I know you're going to do great on it." So she started us all in our house. The rule in our house was you had to start singing at 3 years old.
Wow.
And she had a piano. In fact, I have the piano in my house right now that she played when she was teaching us. And so that's where it started. That's exactly where it started, Chess Records.
Chess Records. Now, you know, having that piano in your house, in your presence, just talk a little bit about what's the significance of that to you. Because, you know, I have a piano that I had gotten in before. I had one from my grandmother, and it was really significant having that in there, that
wow.
Feel. What is it like to still have that instrument that your mother first taught you to be the great singer that you are on, and with that legacy?
Well, you know, having it in my home, it reminds me of those days. It reminds me of the times that Mom would even put three little tiny switches up on there, too.
When Mom would put you in check, huh?
Yeah, when I wasn't paying attention, because back then, you know, I don't know, I was the only boy in my family, and a lot of the late pictures, the early pictures, that we took together, most of them I tried to stand way off in a corner by myself somewhere, didn't want to stand next to my sisters. And I got some of the little whippings for that, you know. But that piano being in my home now, it goes back to those days. It also goes back to a time when I first started playing myself at the age of 12. Yeah, and I would practice on that. And a lot of times, Mom would have to go on tour while we're in school. And so me being at home, I wanted to learn to play. And so my first song was a song called Benny and the Jets.
Benny and the Jets. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. I remember when that came out, because that came out in an era where, you know, people were trying to be free, and we were like free love, and we were out there trying to escape. And, you know, and Benny and the Jets, he just symbolized this people, that these young group of people that was just out there.
Oh, yeah.
So you sang Benny and the Jets.
Yeah, I taught myself to play that song. That was the first song I learned to play. I had a little 45 record of it.
And
I learned to play it because Mom had taught us how to sing in harmony, so I knew how to pick out the parts, you know.
Oh, okay.
And that's how I started, yeah.
What's so your mom? Yeah. Let's give tribute and put your mother's spirit all the way out there with her name.
Her name is Dorothy. Well, it was Dorothy Best, and then she remarried later and picked up the last name Harrison. And, in fact, right there in Columbus, my brother pastors a church there. He's Bishop Roger Harrison.
Wait a minute. What's the name of his church?
He's got a Church of God in Christ church there that he's been pastoring for a good while. What is the name of the church?
Well, you know, I know Pastor Harrison. I wonder if it's – does he got brothers?
Yeah. Oh. Richard Harrison, Bobby – my father pastored right there at Refuge Baptist Church.
Oh, see, I do know. Wow, Nathan, I know your family. Do you know that I don't know if he was your father, your brother, or what, but he was the pastor of my best friend that went to that church. It's right over there on Atchison Avenue. I mean, it's been there forever.
Yes. Wow. Reverend R.F. Harrison Jr. was my dad. That was my dad.
Shut up. So you are from Columbus? You are like a native of Ohio?
Yeah, I was born in Miami, Florida, but I was raised, believe it or not, in the great state of Ohio, Cincinnati, Ohio. And then my dad went to Refuge Baptist Church, took over the church from my grandfather.
Wow.
And I have some ties with Columbus. That's why I'm so happy to be on your show.
When I was reading your bio and stuff, but like I said, I could just put all that out there. But I like to carry for my audience to really learn a person through that person. And, you know, for you to actually be, because, see, I'm from Indiana, but like you, I was raised in Columbus. So that makes me a Buckeye, regardless of what goes on. Because this is where the roots of where we were actually raised and what influenced us in our communities and our pastors and our schools and things like that. You know, that's where we got our core. Okay, so now we've got you up to Benny and the Jets. Okay? So what happened after Benny and the Jets?
Well, I played for my dad's church for a while. And, you know, he let me play. He's kind enough to let me play for Rose Chapel Baptist Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. And then from there, I started playing with a little group there called Newborn Light, which was a little local group. But they did a lot of great things and helped to establish me as far as what I wanted to do with the rest of my life, music. And so then from there, I was playing at a revival. And I met a lady named Ernestine Rings from Oakland, California. And she asked me to come to California to play for her church. And I wanted to, because I wanted to go to California, but I did not know that her being in the Bay Area, I didn't know that her niece was Tremaine Hawkins.
Whoa.
Yeah, and so while
How old were you at that time, Nathan?
At that time, I think I was about maybe 19 or 20. No, take that back. I was about 22 around there.
So, you know, 22, living in Ohio, you couldn't wait to get to California.
Oh, yeah. That was a dream of mine, to always want to go to California and make it in music. And so when I got there, she let me play for a church, and I realized that right down the street was a little storefront church that was pastored by the late Bishop Walter Hawkins.
Yes.
Church called Love Center Choir. And I hadn't joined Ernestine Ring's church at that time, so I joined his church. And while I was there, I just felt led to be a part of that little ministry right there and to also work with Pastor Ernestine Ring. And so that one thing just led to another. I led a song on Love Alive 3, which Walter recorded, and he wrote a song for me called Jesus Is My Friend.
Yes, he is.
I led that on Love Alive 3 and also played the organ and helped to kind of put the music together for a song called Don't Wait Till the Battle Is Over.
Ooh, don't wait. You know, don't wait till the battle is over. We can never wait till the battle is over.
That's right.
I want to introduce people to the center of my life. Listen to that. This is Nathan Bess, Center of My Life. Now let's give a hand clap for that. That is so beautiful. And we know, of course, in the center, I'm assuming the center of my life in this song is about God, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. I wanted to make sure that it's about him. I tell you, what I have is not because of who I am, but whose I am, yeah.
You know, before we got to this Center of My Life CD release, and we stopped at, you're in California now.
Right.
And you're moving along, and you've got some people that have helped you and helped some written songs for you, and you got them out. What's the move here that from the next, from there, what's the next big jump you made?
Well, from there, I wanted to be more involved with touring and seeing what it would be like to go on tour. I did a few dates with Walter Hawkins and Lufkin Choir back in the day, but I wanted to experience it. I really wanted to get out there and just see what it was all about. So I got with a young lady named Nikki Howard, who was on at that time Atlantic Records, and she asked me if I would come and play for her. I didn't start as a musical director for her. I just started as just a keyboard player and background vocalist. And then as we got down the road, she said, "Nathan, I'd like for you to be my music director." So I did that for a while with her. But while I was on tour, Gerald Levert asked me from the group Levert. He asked me, he said, "Nathan, listen, when your tour is up, do you mind going out on the road with me? I'd love for you to play for me and sing." And I said, "Well, yeah, okay, great." So I would leave one tour and go on another one and playing for Levert and singing background vocals. Wow. So after that, we did a family reunion tour with the OJs and Levert. And I used to notice Eddie would stand on the side of the stage and just be staring at me. I'd be doing the steps with Gerald and them and performing and singing and playing. And so after a couple of tours, I decided I would take some time off, about a year. But I would always stay in touch with Eddie and check on him. So one time I called on him, and I said, I got his answering machine, and I said, "I don't want anything. Just call and see how you're doing. This is Nathan." And he picked up the phone. He said, "Nathan, Nate, what you doing? What you doing?" I said, "I'm not doing anything right now. I just wanted to call and check on you." He said, "You're not doing nothing." I said, "No." He said, "You want to be in the OJs?" Well, after I passed out and came to,
Look. I know what he said. "You want to be in the OJs?" You said, hold on a minute there. Let me think about that. No.
Yeah, because I didn't know that they were looking for another member, because Sammy had another group. His alma mater was Little Anthony and the Imperials.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah,
and they did a thing at Madison Square Garden, and it went over so well that they thought that they would want to go ahead and keep the group and do some stuff for Mattel. And so Eddie said, "Well, why don't you stay in a group and you be the only one that's in two major acts at the same time?" And Sammy didn't want that workload. He didn't want that much on him. And so he gave it up. And as a result of it, Eddie asked me to come in. And when I said yes, the next day they flew me to Cleveland, and I recorded a CD called Heartbreaker.
Heartbreaker. Hey, audience out there, you're listening to Julie Whitney Scott Presents. Heard only on TalkTainmentRadio.com. That's radio the way it should be heard. I want you to download the app today, and I want you to know that you can download in our podcast any show that we have in our programs on TalkTainmentRadio.com. And don't forget to go to MindForGodProductions.com so you can keep up with all the productions that I'm doing. And the production that I'm doing right now is bringing to you Mr. Nathan Best, who is one of the... Hey, I was just getting ready to do a poem, but I said, "No, I'm going to stop." Because this is all about you today, Mr. Best. So I'm just going to contain myself.
Oh, that's okay.
And then we just going to move on to the next row. So now you've talked to Mr. Eddie. And he said to you, "Hey, you want to be an OJ?"
Which,
by the way, is one of my groups. Every time they come to Columbus, you know, I used to go see them.
All right.
Oh, yeah. OJs. Well, anyway, okay. So he said, "You want to be an OJ." So now you've moved from gospel to secular.
That's correct. Yeah. I felt like I was a kid preacher. I started preaching at the age of 12. The same time that I started playing piano was the time that I accepted my call in the ministry. And believe it or not, my oldest brother, who is deceased now, Reverend Richard Harrison, he prayed for me in a revival. I said, "I want to really play." And he anointed my hands, and he prayed for me. And next thing I know, months later, I'm playing, you know. So now I'm with the OJs, and we're doing pretty much a high-energy, impact-type show. And Eddie says, Nathan, listen, since you play, why don't we incorporate you playing something in the show? It's never been done with the OJs. Let's do that. And so I was loving it, to be able to sit at the piano and just play, you know, with the guys. And I learned so much from Eddie and Walter during that time. And the guy that took my place, his name is Eric. I passed the torch to him, and he's doing a fantastic job with the group now.
What were the years you were with the OJs?
I was with the OJs from about maybe 91, I think, to about 95, somewhere around in there.
Yeah.
I was with them for at least four, maybe five years. And
talk to us about, was it difficult? Because one of the things I like to talk when I'm have my Christian artists on is to talk about the difference between the secular, when you're out there, you know, in the world, in the entertainment world, secular world and making it versus gospel world and making it, you know, in the entertainment world as far as money and being, you know, produced. And how, when you went from the gospel and started working with the OJs, what was the difference that you did? You see, what was the difference in the industry for you as when that happened? Did you see any difference between that?
Well, I did. I saw more money. They paid more. I also learned more about the history of a lot of the artists that I loved as a kid coming up, Marvin Gaye or even Gladys Knight and the Pips, one of my very good friends, William Guest, who is one of the Pips. We've been, I guess, knowing each other about 30 years now. We've done some session work together. And I learned a lot about the history of, you know, like Motown from working with the dance choreographer that the OJs had, whose name is Charlie Atkinson. And he's passed away now, but he taught all of the Motown artists how to dance, you know, the Supremes, the Jackson 5s, the Four Tops, Gladys Knight. And he trained me. I was fortunate enough to work with him before he passed and get a pair of his shoes that he used to dance in. He gave them to me. So I learned so much about the history and the culture of the field that I was in at that time with the OJs, more so than when I was in the gospel. I mean, when I was with Walter and Edwin, I learned some things, but it wasn't as deep as it was when I got with the OJs, because a lot of the places that we played were historical places, like the Fox Theater in Chicago. The story behind that, when William would tell me, well, you know, a lot of people think Diana Ross discovered the Jackson 5, but it was really Gladys Knight and the Pips that did it when they told Joe to take the kids down to Fox. So I performed in that place. Then at the Apollo Theater, there were stories that Eddie would tell me about back in the day with Tina Turner and Ike.
Well, I bet he told you some stories. Well, I bet that was, that's a show by itself, was it not? My goodness.
Yeah, man,
won't even go in there.
No, we won't go
there. I have to talk to you in private about that.
but I learned more about the history of music being with him and the business of music. And I did an article for Rolling Out magazine just recently, and I was telling them, you know, that, you know, you have to learn the business of music, because it's good to have your gift and your talent, but if you don't have the music, you'll have some sad days ahead of you.
Yeah, you will have some sad days ahead of you if you don't. And one of the first things, of course, you said was money. you know that is the biggest thing in secular.
Absolutely.
Versus you know, gospel. And I don't even know if that's even changed. I don't believe it's changed now based on, you know, the interviews I've had with people, especially the younger ones who are out there now hustling and trying to be heard, moving from the secular to gospel and gospel to secular, you know, back and forth. But you have made this complete turn, and here's another song from Center of My Life called God Forgave Me.
Ooh, all right.
Can I be real with you? Can you sing it one more time? Yeah.
to relive those days. I know I do things differently and let God lead my way. But I can't redo the failures of my past. If I leave my fate in the hands of people, my pain will last and last and last. Change what I do. If I keep my head in God's hand, I know He'll see me through. Oh, yeah.
So glad God forgave me for it.
Yeah.
And He gave me another chance.
And He gave me another chance. Bad choices I've made, miles and miles of bad road
that I have made.
I never thought I'd enjoy that feeling of agape love, that kind of love that looks beyond your faults and sees all your needs.
Yeah. And I thank Him for His love.
Listening to Julie Whitney Scott Presents. Stay right there. More interview with Nathan Best coming up next on TalkTainmentRadio.com. That's radio the way it should be heard.
TalkTainmentRadio.com is the premier internet radio platform offering 40-plus talk radio-style programs professionally produced, optimized for online distribution, featuring Columbus, Ohio on-air personalities.
Top10Radio.com offers listeners diverse programming options covering topics such as arts and culture, love, life and relationships, technology, religion, paranormal activities, local and national politics, women's issues, alongside health and wellness. Listeners can access their favorite Top10Radio.com programs free of cost through the website. Download the TTR app to your cell phone and you can take us wherever you go. We have programs on demand to fit your schedule through our podcast. The address is TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The Pastors Alliance Understanding Leadership, also known as PAUL, in association with Michelia Attar Ministries, presents The Abundance of Grace, a two-day workshop and empowerment experience to be held at the Word Church, 115 Wilson Avenue, Columbus, Ohio, Friday, November the 14th, and Saturday the 15th, from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. nightly. Pastor G. Eddie Patton of Wheat and Tares Ministries, Lorton, Virginia, and Dr. William V. Robinson III of New Creation Bible Church, Benton Harbor, Michigan, will be bringing forth unique revelation of God's Word and manifestations of His power during this exciting two-day event. Impartation workshops will be held from 5 to 7 p.m., with the empowerment experience following from 7:15 to 9 p.m. each day. Come see, hear, and feel the manifestation of God's power and the abundance of His grace like you never have before. You won't leave the same way that you came.
We can give you a new heart.
We can help you walk again.
We can perform brain surgery.